Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia, and I am really delighted to be with you this evening. Our topic this evening is, you know, it's a continuation, I think, of last week's topic, and it's a question that I've kind of pondered for a few weeks. You know, something triggered that in my mind, and I've been pondering it for a few weeks, and I thought, well, you know, seeing that we spoke last week about, you know, grief, that this would be a really appropriate continuation of our discussion. So, you know, today was almost a balmy day here, you know, so it's a good thing. And I know some of you might be wondering, how come we have not looked at, you know, anything directly dealing with Black History Month? And it's deliberate, I think, on my part, that we have not explored it, because I thought, oh, well, you know, so what if we don't talk about Black History during February? You know, what's going to happen? So I thought we would extend Black History Month. So we'll talk about Black History Month next week, you know, in March, and see what happens. But to get our conversation started, my awesome husband, the guest co-host, is not here in his chair right now, but he should be joining me shortly. And I think it's really, oh, here comes the guest co-host. I introduced you already there. Bless you.
Excuse me. Hello.
And, you know, so, you know, to think about, how do we want to spend the time that we have left? You know, how do you want it to be? Because we really don't know how much time any of us have left. Even sometimes when it's the fact that you're, you know, people are deathly ill, you still don't know how much time we have left. I mean, I have a friend who's been seriously ill, and he's just the strongest, most determined fighter I've ever met. You know, every time I speak with him, he says, I'm not ready yet to go, you know. And, you know, that's what I tell him. I said, I'm so proud of you that you continue to fight, that you continue to just appreciate life so much. Because he tells me all the time, he says, oh, I've got things to do. You know, right now he's fighting for his health, but he will say, I've got things to do. And so, you know, that's for my friend Keith, who I'm thinking about him. I'm thinking about Keith. And, you know, I'm sending him my strength. But you know, let's pose this question, because I know it's not something we think about ordinarily. You know, we're so busy in the hustle and bustle of life that we don't ordinarily think about, yeah, how do I want the rest of my days to be? What is it that I want to accomplish or do? What is it that I want to see? What is it that I want to be? You know, how do I want it to be? And another question that I pose in the promo for the show is, yeah, so if you wrote your obituary, what would it say? You know, and it's an exercise I think that we should all do. You know, what would your obituary say? You know, and then is it what you want it to say? You know, I think it's really important to think about these questions, I think, and to kind of develop perspective on life, on how we are choosing to live our lives. And so when I think about it, I'm thinking, well, what frames how you live your life? What is it that you say, well, you know, I want to be kind, or I want to be rich, or I want to be famous? You know, what is the B that influences how you want to live your life? You know, so do you want to be, you know, a good person as opposed to a rich person? Or do you want to be both?
I want to be rich.
Yeah, you know, so what's the question? You know, how are you, what's the framework that you're using to kind of guide how you live your life?
Mm-hmm.
And the question I posed, Raymond, which I think is an interesting question for
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
if you wrote your obituary,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
what would it say?
What did it do? What did I do while I was here?
Yeah, what would it say, Raymond?
I'd like it to say that I was a good person. I'd like it to say that I helped others. I'd like it to say that it was about making a difference in the lives of others. That would be, I'd like to say that I was a good father, a good husband, a good son, a good brother, a good citizen of the world.
Yeah.
You know, where it wasn't about where I lived, what I did for a living, what I drove, how much money I have in the bank account, any of that. It was about the difference I made in the lives of those that were on me, that I made a difference in the lives of my friends, where my friends can call me if they need help or just need someone to listen, or, you know, whatever it might be. But not about the gifts I bought or gifts I got or where I traveled or any of that.
You know, there's a quote that I like to think that this is how I live my life. Well, I like to think so, and I'm hoping that every day I get better at that.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote says, it's by Lao Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
It says, go to the people, live with them,
mm-hmm.
learn from them, love them, start with what they know, build with what they have, but with the best leaders, when the work is done, the task is accomplished, the people will say, we have done it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just about the work I do as a social worker or as a therapist,
mm-hmm.
but even as a parent or as a spouse or as a family member, that I'm always trying to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope. You know, that's what I hope. I don't want to be buried. I want to be cremated. But but that's what I hope that my tombstone will say. Wow, she tried to make it better.
Yeah.
And even in facilitating these discussions,
mm-hmm.
that's what, you know, I'm hoping that we do, is to try to just encourage people to think about and talk about things that they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Mm-hmm.
Because some might see this topic as morbid, right?
No, I think I can
see some people
can,
saying,
yeah.
What kind of morbid, what's wrong with Delia? She just consumed with this death,
right.
You know?
Right.
But I'm not consumed with it.
I think it's more, it's consumed with life and living.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, listen, we will all pass away, we will all die. So that's
what will you do with the rest of your life?
Right, and I think sometimes we need a little bit of that kind of jolt, the reality of death, you know, to say, you're here now, what are you doing with it? Because if the only time you're going to be thinking about living is when you're dying, then the horse is already out the barn. I think while you're living, you are healthy, you are young, or relatively young, you know, taking the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm here, I'm now, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? You know, what did I do when I was here?
Mm.
You know, that's something I think I try my best to, you know, to say in my head. What did I do when I was here? What did I do that mattered?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that matters is what you do for others. I think amassing anything and making that about you is great and fantastic and hopefully, I guess, rewarding. But what people remember is how you made them feel or what you did for them and what a difference you made in their lives.
You know, I think that, and I say this all the time, you've probably heard me say it, I haven't said it on the radio, but I say it to you all the time, that in many ways I am concerned about the younger generation. I am concerned about the fact that some of them, many of them, are not as resilient, I see in my work, as not as resilient as I would hope them to be, perhaps. So in looking at that, you know, I'm thinking there's a lot of focus on things that have to do with the self. And not that that's a bad thing. It's not a criticism. But opening up with that idea, Raymond, of service to others. Because, you know, it really, that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, that it's always about what did you do for others. And in all the faiths, you know, the Christian, the Muslim, the, you know, Jewish, it's always about doing for others.
Yeah, it is. But is it something that we think of, or is it something, take the faith-based out of it, or you think it's something that we should do more of, or something that we should, do you think there's a deficit?
I do. I think that it's the only real thing that matters in life, it's when you serve others.
I really
think that there's nothing really that matters. You know, it's kind of like, so when I ask the question, you know, you know, how do you want the rest of your life to be?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, because in a really strange way,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what eternal life is that by giving to others, by planting a seed, by lighting a candle, by sharing the light, that you live on through that.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are able to add light to the world,
mm-hmm.
that in doing that, you are creating eternity.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. I mean, when you think about, like now I'm thinking about, all right, for my mom's thing on Friday, or even so, when someone passes away, what you think of is just your own memories. You know, so what you remember about the person is your own experience in terms of what you thought of that person or what you thought that person did for you, for others, or otherwise. You know, so it is significant that what we do while we're alive, it matters to others. It matters in terms of how we are carried on, and you know, as you said, the eternity. You know, it's your eternity because it's the memory that people have of you.
Right.
You know, so you could think of people who have passed away years ago. You know, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Bob Marley, whomever it might be, whatever. But what you think of them is how you remember them.
Right, and see what they gave to the world. Like I said, adding light with their talent, with their energy, with their whole spirit.
Right.
How do they add light? Because there are many people who have passed through this world, and because they did not add much light, they have passed through the world and nobody remembers them, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so, but those who gave light, those who gave love, are those that we remember most, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there's at least, you know, hopefully there's at least somebody who remembers everybody, you know? Everybody has at least one person that remembers them and says, I remember so-and-so, you know?
Right.
But the fact is that in doing that, in sharing, you know, when I think about all these great spirits, and I guess in deference to Black History Month, and I said we wouldn't, you know, we're coloring outside the line, so we're doing Black History Month in March. But you know, in thinking about all these people, all our ancestry that have contributed light to this world, you know, you know, how do you want the rest of your life to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? How do you want it to be framed?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just a question to consider. What are you waiting to do? Waiting to lose weight, waiting to go back to school, waiting to get married, waiting to get a divorce, waiting to whatever it is. What are you waiting to do?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you waiting?
And I guess folks could, in reality, those things, you wait for different reasons. Some circumstances are outside of your control. But I kind of go back to just something you said before when
mm-hmm.
you talk about.
Because, let me just give the number,
619-639-4621.
Sure.
Mm. All right. Where you talk about folks being the generation and being concerned and concerned about a generation, what specifically, what is it that you're most concerned, you know, in terms of what are we or they or are people doing while we are here that it's not
I think the consumption with self, the consumption with things, the consumption with technology. And so it's not about a real authentic connection, I think. I think a lot of that is missing for a lot of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not that technology is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or not that being, concerned about self is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's an over-emphasis, an over-concentration
mm-hmm.
on this being self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, many are really easily thrown off balance.
Mm.
Anything that happens can easily throw them off balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think
they become almost delicate.
Delicate is one word we could use.
Okay,
for sure.
but I think when you're talking about, because the reason why I say that, we were watching a program, if you remember, over the weekend, and we're talking about, the current generation of folks and them talking about why, what they are looking for. What is it? And they're not as, self-absorbed as people might think, or they might not be this.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that was
right?
Melissa Harris-Perry. Yeah.
Correct. In terms of, yes, probably they do more, because they're able to reach out easier through technology and the advancement of technology. They will be remembered for being able to unite people and get people together. And I'm hoping in the context of what we're talking about, what did you do while you're here, where there'll be more of us
mm-hmm.
having, because it's easier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not sending telegrams anymore. People are not riding across the Wild West anymore
mm-hmm.
to share the news. It's instant. As the news itself is now not even the news, is where you go for information. But as you pointed out, there's a price for that.
Yeah, I think that nothing will ever replace human connection. I think that it is the essence of life. They've done the experiment, with the babies who were not touched
mm-hmm.
for years after they were born,
mm-hmm.
and what happened to those children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how they developed in an unhealthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that we know that this does not work, that living void of human connection does not work.
Yeah.
And so it's about...
But does that translate into how, if you go back to what we're talking about in terms of what did you do while you were here, how would you be remembered?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one could make the argument, though, it makes it easier to facilitate certain things getting done because of that.
Raymond, and that's
so
all well
an
and good.
There's an upside to that, where you're able to rally people easier. You're able to give back.
To what end?
But you're doing it because of a purpose. Because there are people who are young and energetic and want to make a difference and want to be involved, and it's easier for them to say, come along with me because you can easily share information. I don't have to gather in a town square and take a microphone anymore to convince folks of what we're saying. The same technology that they use, the Facebooks of the world, the whatever is now hot and trending and, all of that, allows for that. So I think they do give back. They do advocate for others and causes and so on.
I don't want to generalize, Raymond, to say that that's not happening. I'm
mm.
not generalizing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that an observation is
mm-hmm.
that in determining how you want the rest of your life to be,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for example, we think about how this generation, right,
mm-hmm.
Is a first generation that is whose life expectancy is not as great as their parents because of
mm-hmm.
health concerns. We have young people dying of heart failures
mm-hmm.
and heart conditions.
I never thought about that.
Right? And so you know, and I know when I pose this question that young people probably think, well, I've got 80 years to go, and I've got 75 years to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the first generation that will not exceed the life expectancy of the previous.
Because their life is more sedentary.
Yeah. And so the quality of life that they're living is not the same. And
but,
I think from an emotional perspective as well,
but,
that they're not as resilient.
Okay. I mean, I think we can have a whole... I'd love to talk about that some more.
Okay.
Because I find that interesting. Because, and I'd have to do some reading on it. Because I'm sure you could parse that out and said, if we took that same generation and look at it demographically, you'll probably find a very active set, very athletic, very active, very conscious, so very green, very organic.
Yeah.
You know, so where you now have things moving away, and I don't know, I mean, I'd love to look at it so that when we talk about where it kind of moves away from the center where you have people active, overly active.
But, you know, and again, there's some generalization, but
but there are still folks who are... way not active, way more consumed by being isolated by the
and
technology.
The obesity.
Exactly. So I don't have to leave my room. I don't have to talk to anyone.
Because you're not playing outside.
Right.
So, you know, you have some folks, and I don't know if it's even the same, but that are really the vegetarians and the vegans and really athletic and active. But when you look at it as a cross-section, you have those extremes.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah,
but generally speaking,
I think the generation, though, still, I mean, I would still advocate that in terms of giving back and being represented in doing for humanity, I think they have. I might even say they have done a better job than our generation. You know, I don't know. I feel that way. It's more visible.
I don't know that.
It's more visible.
I don't know that.
I feel as if it's more visible.
I don't know how
conscious of giving and participating and being, you know, giving to others and giving of ourselves and feeling that, you know, the greatest gift that we could do to give to anyone is to give of ourselves to others.
You know what, Raymond? That's how I grew up. I mean, I grew up in Key Club, and that's what we did. That's what it was, our socialization, and it was our consciousness. We socialized in that way by giving back, you know, working in the infirmary, you know, raising funds for all kinds of things, collecting donations. I mean, that's what we did.
Mm.
That was my consciousness. That's how I came of age.
Mm.
It really is.
Okay. No, I mean, I was in Key Club as well, but. You know, I hear you, but I'm talking about the adult generation. And I don't know, you know, I would like to think, you know, like the protests in Ferguson or anything that happens today or down in Florida or out in Staten Island or just raising funds for a cause, just trying to get things done to better human life, regardless, is I think, the opportunities are greater today.
They are.
For everybody.
Absolutely.
For everyone.
Because that's what technology affords.
For everybody. So it's just a matter of how do we use that tool. But you have, if you don't have the consciousness,
if you don't have the inner will, it doesn't matter what you have. And I'm saying that, so if we just follow that train of conversation, what it is that if we had more consciousness, because it's easier to achieve,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to galvanize, it's easier to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how much more of a difference we would be able to make.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So.
I mean, Martin Luther King with Twitter and thing today is a different...
Right, it's a different story. You know, just think Malcolm being able to get out his message,
right.
You know, through
right.
Facebook.
Right.
You know, it's a different story.
Right.
And
right.
So that's what I'm saying.
So you're saying, then one could ask the question, where is the Malcolm X and where are the Martin Luther Kings?
I guess, you know, people...
What do they look
there,
like?
Yeah.
Are they there?
There are people who are making a difference. Let's not, minimize that.
No.
For sure, because
no.
That's certainly happening.
Absolutely.
But what I'm saying is I think that for the most part, and when we generalize, is that the focus is mainly on, on how am I going to make myself feel better, and how many likes can I get on Facebook, and, how's my Instagram account doing?
Right,
and,
what is my,
does my YouTube channel look like?
How many followers do I have, and how many hits I got?
So it's more about the self than about the cause, right?
Yeah, you're right. For good or bad, it takes away, the good that's being done. And I think that same program we were watching, and I remember this young lady saying, or I don't remember if it was a young man or a young lady saying about, having two selves or two profiles, your online profile and your personal profile. You know, my online profile is what I project, what I want it to be. I can fantasize. It can be, it's virtual. It can be anything I want to be. It doesn't have to look the way I look. I don't have to present myself. You know, I can be 6'4" and 195 pounds, where I'm really 5 foot tall, 500 pounds. You know, and it creates this fantasy and this illusion.
And this inauthenticity.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. And, it's the inauthentic self. And so... because you are not two people.
You're not. You are who? You are one.
You understand?
Person.
You are one person.
Yeah.
So if you are projecting,
you can have split personality. It probably leads to that.
If you are projecting two different personalities wherever in a virtual world, online world, or in the real world, then something is off. Right. So I want to leave us with a quote. And you mentioned Mahatma Gandhi before, and his quote is, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." Because I think that there's nothing that builds character more than serving others.
I agree.
So, that's what I want us to think about. How do we want to spend the rest of our days?
And I would advocate any day of the week doing something for someone else, however little, whatever.
Yeah.
Is way more valuable than anything else you can do for yourself. I think doing for others is priceless.
Right.
I think so.
So, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And so we'll leave you with that.
Bye-bye.
Till next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com. And like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.